Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today is Friday, May 19th, the year 2023. Tuned in to the Juma prayer for the Nur Allah Islamic Center, which will begin in 25 minutes for the first half hour from 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 2. We will play chapter 118 of the Quran, and at 2 o'clock, we will begin the Juma Kubar. So at this time here, we will play chapter 18, Surah Al-Kahf, or chapter called The Cave, that's the English translation, chapter 18 of the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward, wherein they will abide forever, and to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا.
And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside him, for then should we utter an enormity. These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال وكلبهم باسط ذراعيه بالوصيد لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. those who won their point said, "We verily shall build a place of worship over them."
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say, "They were three, their dog the fourth," and some say, "Five, their dog the sixth," guessing at random, and some say, "Seven, and their dog the eighth." Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, "Lo, I shall do that tomorrow," except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, "It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this." And it is said, they tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change His words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside Him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, "It is the truth from the Lord of you all. Then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces. Calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place."
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk, and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grape, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men.
ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا.
And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou entered thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There is no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside.
أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا.
Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging, and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا.
And remember when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
ويوم يقول نادوا شركائي الذين زعمتم فدعوهم فلم يستجيبوا لهم وجعلنا بينهم موبقا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them.
وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا.
And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وما نرسل المرسلين إلا مبشرين ومنذرين ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا.
And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I march on for ages.
فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا.
And when they reached the point where the two met, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the waters, being free.
فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا.
And when they had gone further, he said unto his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Verily, we have found fatigue in this our journey.
قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا.
He said, Didst thou see when we took refuge on the rock and I forgot the fish? And none but Satan caused me to forget to mention it. It took its way into the waters by a marvel. He said, This is that which we have been seeking. So they retraced their steps again.
فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما.
Then found they one of our slaves unto whom we had given mercy from us and had taught him knowledge from our presence.
قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا. قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه الله اكبر الله اكبر لا إله إلا الله
بينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
He said, "This is the parting between thee and me. I will announce unto thee the interpretation of that thou couldst not bear with patience."
أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ فِي الْبَحْرِ فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَعِيبَهَا وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا.
As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working on the river, and I wished to mar it, for there was a king behind them who was taking every ship by force. And as for the lad, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief.
فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما.
And we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one better in purity and nearer to mercy.
وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure belonging to them, and their father had been righteous, and thy Lord intended that they should come to their full strength and should bring forth their treasure as a mercy from their Lord. And I did it not upon my own command. Such is the interpretation of that wherewith thou couldst not bear. They will ask thee of Dhul-Qarnayn. Say, I shall recite unto you a remembrance of him.
إنا مكنا له في الأرض وآتيناه من كل شيء سببا.
Lo, we made him strong in the land and gave him unto everything a road.
فأتبع سببا.
And he followed a road.
حتى إذا بلغ مغرب الشمس وجدها تغرب في عين حمئة ووجد عندها قوما قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة 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 الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I refuge protection of Allah from Satan the rejected enemy with the name of Allah the merciful benefactor the merciful redeemer We openly bear witness that the one God Allah, no partners, no associates has he, none whatsoever. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant, the seal, Katama, seal, Katabad Nabi, the seal of the prophet. He is also Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah as well. Sometimes Muslims will say, okay, Alhamdulillah, that's called Miraj Aki. He's got the word, the mirror on the wall from Miraj, the image. But Aki is my brother. And he told me I had to come to church around the wrong direction. Oh, we're on live because we got last year's after, I don't know. I hope we're on live. This is not my forte. I thought I couldn't be here today. Let me just try something real quick and see what's going on. Because you don't want to be in the studio. Okay, I think we're on now. I don't know. We're going to find out later on, inshallah. Can I do your stream? Okay, make sure last week's coming to Erica. Enough name. Okay. You have to be patient with each other. You know, we're new to Islam. Now, don't get me enough African Americans. A whole lot of Muslims overseas, they do to Islam too, because they've been under so much oppression and domination by colonialism and other Islams. They're new to Islam as well. As a matter of fact, quietness is kept. We're ahead of a lot of them because you don't have to unpackage colonialism. You don't have to unpackage all the other problems they have heaped on top of their society. We had to unpack Jim Crow slavery. We had a head start on that. We praise to Allah. We bear witness to that for one God, Allah. Highly glorified is he. Alhamdulillah, the perfect praise known to Allah. If you get some, just say praise God or praise the Lord. You want to define this. Make it plain. Highly glorified is he. The perfect praise belongs to Allah. is not mediocre, it's not shared. It's not half done. When we say 111, it's 100%. No shuffling job. No game. Al-Islam is much more than just empty rituals. A whole lot more than superstition. But we have these problems. On the authority of Abdullah Ibn Umar Ibn Al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with them. It says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of God, may peace of God be upon him. He says, only al-Islam al-Kamsa. Only al-Islam al-Kamsa. Kamsa. Al-Islam is built upon five. Kamsa, five, right? That right? That's the scale of what we can start. Isma, you know, why here? Isma, Kodessa, Arba, Kamsa. Yes, five. Our religion is built upon five. So the five becomes the foundation, the basis. And we build our religion upon on top of the fire. And the five ordained. It says the first one is Shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. That's one of the five that our religion is built upon. What it can be salat, the establishment of salat, you hear the word it can move. You hear standing. The prayer is a standing. It's to uplift our lives as believers. The lot, it says, why itai is that to catch? The establishment of to catch. And the root word of to catch is purity, purification. So the giving of to catch is purifying our wealth, purifying our hearts from greed. To catch is like flowing water, not steady. Water that is stagnant is not any good. Yeah. It can let dirt. So the lunar water cleanses itself. But the same for our wealth. If it's moving through the community, as an institution called Zakat, it purifies the money, but more importantly, it purifies the heart of the giver from greed, arrogance. It purifies the heart of those that fortune from envy and jealousy. So we establish these five pillars of Islam and of Islam. Well, Hajjah al-Bait, al-Hajj, the journey, al-Bait, the house. And we have Wasamna Ramadan, the fasting in the sacred month of Ramadan. These are the five pillars in which Al-Islam is built upon. You say, all of the five pillars were Islam. Yes, but it's the foundation for building our lives as Muslims. The foundation. Every house got a foundation. This building we're in has a foundation. So every house has a foundation, and our lives as Muslims have a foundation. the five pillars. Now, for many of us, maybe my age and older, our first introduction, at least in this American context, our first introduction to Islam, it wasn't the five pillars, the Islam. Our invitation to Islam came through three words. And these three words still, to this day, resonate strongly in our heart, and in our mind, and in our soul. Those three words were freedom, justice, and equality. That was the introduction for us in the 30s, 1940s, 1950s, 60s, 70s. You said, is that what Islam is? Yes, brother, freedom, justice, and equality. Talking to a brother and a sister in the 50s and the 60s going through Jim Crow, fed up on civil rights and fed up on peace and love, and we hear a voice saying, but come to Islam. We got freedom, justice, and equality. Oh, this sounds good to the ear of a suffering person. But actually, Al-Islam properly, according to the Quran and the Ufa, the Prophet, is that. It's to give us freedom, justice, and equality. No Muslim in a right mind can argue with that. That's not being Islamic principles. Allah, the one God, is answering that original call that we had of freedom, justice, and equality. By bringing us closer and closer to the excellent life of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad the Prophet. So our original call that we heard was addressing racism and all the other problems that we had in American society. And he said, oh, if I have to answer, yes, but with no five pillars involved. No Ramadan involved. Not back then. But our hearts were pure. Our minds were open. So Allah, he answered that call. He's answering that original attraction he had to Islam. I'm going to read a paragraph from the commentary of the Quran by Ibn Muhammad. It's called the first and the second mercy of God. The first and the second mercy of God. He says, God says, O soul, at rest, who has found peace, return to your Lord pleasing and pleased. You know that's Mutmaina, right? And then we're going to say, if you strive for the best that is in you, I hope everyone's listening. You strive for the best that's in you. I strive for the best that's in me. Imam says, if you do that, then you get help from God and you keep that. Do not stop that. The religion is to continue that. Let's go through this slowly. We have already taken on the focus that I'm going to strive for the best in me, to bring out the best in me. If we do that first, then the religion will continue it. Yes? With the words of the prophet, I'm coming back to the point. I'm just adding in commentary. Rasulullah said to his Sahaba, those of you who are good now, you were good before. You already knew what your nature, right? And you are striving for the best in you. But if you do that first, then the religion will continue it. The man says, the religion is to complement that. The religion is to give that additional help, not to go against it. That is why it says in Psalm 30, Isaiah 30, patterned on that which the human society has been patterned upon. The human society is already on a pattern. We call it Sitra. And a lot of mainstream religion on their same pattern, not going against it. So now says, you do not reject the first mercy. If you do, then you have nothing to put the second mercy upon. I have a comment on that. If you are not true to your best self, you're not true to your original self, when you get to religion, you're going to be off because you can't, you don't have anything to attach the truth to. If you're not true to yourself, what you going to attach the truth to? He says, you have no pattern to it. He says, go back. You do not receive, I'm sorry, you do not reject the first mercy, right, your original self. If you do, then you have nothing to put the second mercy upon. You have no pattern to adjust the next mercy to. The next mercy has to be patterned or fitted in, adjusted to the first mercy. He said, now you see now how people have bad Islam and good Islam, or human Islam and demonic Islam, demon Islam. You see how they can have that? When they do not pattern it on the best of the human nature that God created, everything is lost. So we find in many Muslim societies, abuse of women, abuse of poor, low education, because they lost contact with that original human nature. The foundation is messed up. It's crumbling. I don't care how good the house may be. If your foundation is weak and crumbling, your house can fall. But the Quran says, enter the masjid that was built from the first day on Taqwa. Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, it's like crumbling sand. See, well, what does that mean? You know, there are some people now trying to form masjids based on LGBTQ. Huh? Yeah, Houston, Texas is one. California is one. New York got one. But it wasn't made from the first day on Taqwa. It was made from the first day on the political agenda, on the social agenda. You can't stand. It has to be built from the first. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived a whole lifetime amongst us. What is he called lifetime amongst us? They gave him the honorable title of Ali, the one with the trust. He was true to his nature. He was true to his picture. So when the revelation came, he could connect it on to his picture. It's your picture. Picture gives me your original nature that God gave you. If your picture is messed up, you can get all the Quran you want. You get all the hadith you want. But if your picture, your nature, your original self is messed up, you ain't going anywhere. So we have Muslim societies who have lost contact with their originality. He lost it. I bought that from Middle East. They call it the blue-eyed, evil eyes. It was a round circle about that big. You got blue, that shade of blue in the circle, one dot in the middle. I showed this to a Muslim, and he got nervous. I'm like, you believe it? And I'm like, come on. I thought it was a nice souvenir. You kidding me? Kidding me? That's superstition. That's not in your original nature. But Rasulullah said the law and himself and did a whole lifetime on his teacher, on his nature. That's why he qualified to receive the Quran. So we have to maintain and respect that original nature in order to build or attach the five pillars of Islam to, and also to express our six beliefs. America, U.S. chattel slavery tried everything possible to remove from us our original nature. They tried everything. You can't remove a God. I was going to say, hey, man, I said, it makes sense for a lot of money people. He said, the Shaitan said, he would attack us from before us, in your face, behind you, where you can't see, from your right, from your rational mind, from your left, from your emotional side. Satan told us that, right? He said, but you never see where Satan says he would attack you from the top or from beneath. Why? Why? Because from on top, we get the revelation of the Quran. That is Allah, right? And thou. So we can't get into God's revelation. Got that? Well, what about feet? Feet stands for your nature. Your nature. Satan cannot get into nature. He can try to make you deviate your perception of how you see nature, or try to get you to get in there and begin to play with stuff, as they do all the time. But nature, Satan cannot get into nature, and he cannot get into God's revelation. So they tried every way possible to remove from us our original God-given nature, and they failed. Alhamdulillah, they failed. We were damaged in every way possible as a people, but they cannot penetrate that dynamic African-American soul, no more than Umayyad ibn Khalaf could penetrate the soul of Bilal ibn Rabah. And he tried his best to penetrate Bilal, put that big rock on him in the hot sun. He said, but that's a holy talk. He got all the whisper. He said, he down there mumbling something. And then man went there and said, well, what is he saying? I hide. Oh, that man, he had a fit. Huh? Yes. So Allah is answering our original attraction to Islam by giving us a new mind. A new intellect that is solidly rooted in the Quran. There's no small thing, brothers and sisters, that we have here. In this journey of a people, stolen from Islam, going to slavery, and returning back to Islam, however we may have came, Allah is blessing us for their journey and giving us a new mind, new intellect that is solidly rooted in the Quran and in the Uswa, the life model of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is no small thing. You don't brag about it because Allah can take it from you. We're humbled by it. And this new thinking, this new mind, is producing more light and more insight than the world has ever witnessed. And it came from Allah's right Imam, Walter E. Muhammad. So I'm telling you, this is not only a fact, I'm saying this is a challenge. Not a bragging challenge, but a challenge to help the world. So it's not a secret. It's not sectarian. It's not siloed to be isolated. It's something that must be shared with the whole wide world. Stand upon the Kaaba. Now, we're Juma, right? And the Kaaba Juma was Hayya ala Salah, Hayya ala Salah. So any other thing, any other books, cell phone, anything else should not be done now on the Juma. So please stop reading the book during Juma. It's not proper. When the Imam is teaching, says the people to put down, when the Imam is teaching, you may see those come here one time and you hit your cell phones off. You know me, I blasted them. Not to be mean, not to be arrogant, but it's improper to disrespect the Kaaba. It's not right. And I would be not your friend if I didn't show you the love to say that's who is right. Because if one began reading the book, and then another began reading the book, and another began reading the book, and they understood what I read, oh my goodness, we do not have a Juma. You don't need to collect. Right? Not to be divided, by the truth, right? Just collect. So it's all done from love. Sometimes you gotta say a word right to the point. For the good. Al-Islam is more than just empty rituals. The rituals are rich with wisdom and guidance, information, direction, to form our lives as individuals and to form our lives as communities. And these same rituals have helped to save the world and is saving the world as well, but we have to be able to look into the ritual. Not just burn the ritual, three rakats here, four rakats there, 30 days, 39 days there. Yes, we learned that. But what is it saying for our human excellence? What all these rituals saying for our human evolution? What is this ritual saying for our interaction as people? The rituals talk to you. They talk to you. Oh, yes. Come. It's so rich. So we thank Allah for giving us a complete way of life, a whole way of life. That's not missing anything. Allah says He perfected and completed His favor upon us and preferred for us Al-Islam as I did. Huh? Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so we're thankful. Allah grant us good in this life, grant us good in the life to come, and protect us from the torment of the fires of sin. I want to speak a little bit, 4 or 5 minutes at the most, about our brother, El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz. Today is his 98th birthday. His 98th birthday. Commonly known as Malcolm X. He was a believer. He was a Muslim. He was a soldier. And if we don't honor and recognize our own, then we're in trouble. We have to recognize good where it may be. And what he done is yet to really be appreciated in his fullness. But there are so many people who are Muslim. They say, well, why are you a Muslim? They say, well, I read a book called The Autobiography of Malcolm X, and I became Muslim. And that book still is converting people to this day. Even though Edward Haley did his thing, you know. But, you know, you can't hold back the truth. It's going to come through. Inshallah, on Thursday, we're going to talk about on my blog talk show. We're going to talk about my brother, El Haj Sika Shabbat. To be perfect, you don't ask me that question. You ask yourself, are you perfect? Right? That's the way of the prophet. He said, before you are quick to remind somebody of their shortcomings, just think about your own. And when I read that, I said, well, I'll be busy for a long time. On myself. And by the time I get done with myself, I could have got all about them. So we have to honor and recognize all of our pioneers that came before us. Those who made it easy for us to sit here and relax. Then they had Juma, a lot of Juma. It wasn't always like this. So we know that our brother lost his life. And when I was trying to point fingers at who did or who didn't do it, it happened. As he was fighting for freedom, justice, and equality, as he understood it. And I often think about the verse of the Quran where it says, a man comes to his fullness. He's fully grown at 40 years old. And at 40 years old, you make a special prayer, you know, 40 years old. Malcolm was 39. Ain't it something? But I found it interesting. Dr. King is 39. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. I also find it interesting, too, that Malik, Michael's name, Erhard's late Malik, all right, Malik, in the Arabic alphabet is mean lion calf, MLK. MLK. And it means, MLK Malik means king. So on Sunday, I got Dr. Tommy Brown. His father was, whenever Dr. King came to Indianapolis, Dr. King stayed at their house. And Dr. El Hadid from Tennessee State came on Sunday. And I was talking to Dr. Brown, he told me this much. He said, yeah, he said, when Malcolm was traveling, said me and Baldwin, we had to go over to Tuskegee to pick up Malcolm, to bring him over to the place. And he began to tell about some of the conversations in the car. I said, save that for the broadcast. Yeah. And he said, Malcolm said in the car, he said, I'm going to be alive for him. Yeah. So when we have people who know that they are in left of where they're walking there, going to keep walking and keep promoting their law as God, and they lose their life, we owe them. And there are many hundreds, maybe thousands of Muslims who are African-American experience alone who lost their lives. People, you got one here, and that's Daniel Muhammad. He killed up at his house. There are people who attend this mass here now who lost children to the cars, whose family was facing them for years. Right here, in this mass here. And they still said, there's no God but Allah. Yeah. We owe that. We owe them. And so don't wait for anybody to celebrate and recognize those who made sinless sacrifice. So now we can go around and call ourselves by here in that building or whatever, you know, and people can care for you, the greetings back too. So no wrong with other bars. But then we come because of your fell out of the sky. People died, went to jail, went to prison for years. Just to have a Muslim school. Come on now. People spend months and years in jail just to have a Muslim school. Yeah. And people will name themselves schools and ask you, they go, well, like, something is lost. Oh, who pays Christ? That Allah is the best to the world. Alhamdulillah. So then the last is that the Muslim man. May I just not take him on? You are having a man to the rock. My Lord, let not our hearts be known to you to guide us, but grant to us in your presence, your mercy, for you are the one that grant us our measure. And you become the son of God.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Malik Yawm Al-Din Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Sirat Al-Mustaqim Sirat Al-Ladina Yanamta Alayhim Ghayr Rasubi Alayhim Walid Tawli Talam Lachadalakas Vajra Kwalavana Akarisra Kalabi and Kadishara Walafana Lakas Vikra Sainama Ausri Yusra Inama Ausri Yusra Sainban for Rakan Fatsa Vakilla Rabika Lafaga Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If I could have gathered, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina Anamta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim, wa lad-dallin. Amin.
Allahu
Akbar.
Allahu
Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum. Any announcements or anything you need to share? Yes, ma'am. There will be weekend school this Sunday at 10:30. Okay, good, great. That's all I can think. Any other announcements? So I'll make about the blog talk Sunday. You can catch that. Put the memo on the board again. Yes, sir.
KIB.
24, I believe. Yeah, Keith, you'd be beautiful. We'll come out and walk out to 12, pay whatever. And they're going to walk out. We'll be putting an 8-mile walk trail on the property with benches and natural plants and whatever else. So if you're able to come and help, you're more than welcome to come. It'll be 2:00. 2:00 on the 24th. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Oh, for what? You're right. It was 2:00 for this week. You canceled it. Thank you. 10:30 a.m. Okay. Any more announcements? Okay. Okay. All right. I'm in love. Yes, sir. All right. Thank you. Yes.
Washington Journal starts live at 7 Eastern here on C-SPAN.
Huh?
The spiritual leader of the American Society of Muslims announced his resignation Sunday after more than three decades. Imam W.D. Muhammad talks about Islamic life in America at the Society's annual convention in Chicago. This is 40 Minutes.
Thank you. We praise the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth. We praise him. We worship him only. We obey him, and we obey his messenger, the last prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the traditional salute to him, saying the prayers and the peace be upon him. And what follows of that traditional salute, dear Muslims, dear believers, brothers and sisters, again, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The praise and the thanks is to God, the Lord, keeper of all the worlds. Let me quickly try to take some tension out of the air. We who believe in this religion, we believe in God, and we believe in Muhammad the Prophet, the model of the human being in his perfection as the servant of God. We believers, we know our life. We know our life. And we know what is not our life. And we know our religion. And we know what is not our religion. And we keep our life. And we keep our religion. Other things can come and go. But we keep our life. That is our religion. We keep our religion. So I'm getting ready to be more at work, to do more, to be more productive, and to contribute to the good life of the believers that I have a common history with, and also to the good life of believers that I don't have that common history with. I don't know about you, but when I told the imams of my resignation yesterday, a big burden went off my back. Yes. So I hope that gave you a little relief. Praise be to Allah. How Muslims are to plan our life. We have to plan our life knowing firstly that Islam is our life. And without Islam, we don't have any life. And we are to contribute to the excellence of America because this is where we live. This is where we're going to stay. This is our country. And we have made great progress in this country after being put down lower than the animals of this land. The vision of our founding fathers, some of them were influenced. After they read the Quran, they were influenced in a good way to become even better visionaries. After they read the Quran, after they got familiar with the Quran and our prophet, Muhammad, his history of how he accomplished so much in about 10 or 11 years, and how he worked for about 20 or 21 years and accomplished so much not only for Muslims, but for the whole of mankind, as God says, مَا أَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That God says he was not sent to be any but a mercy to all the worlds, then if we follow him, shouldn't we want to see mercy to everybody? Shouldn't we want to see everybody having mercy of God, the mercy of God? Yes, we should. So the vision of our founding fathers is not so far from us. One of the presidents of these United States, it is documented that he read the Quran himself. He read the Quran and he had the courage or the goodness to put it in writing that he read the Quran. And I have met presidents in my time, very recently, who have expressed reverence and deep respect and reverence for our holy book, the Quran, and for the tradition, the life of Muhammad the Prophet. We don't live in a world of ignorant people. Our leaders are great people in this country. Our presidents and our leaders of our society are great people, and they do respect great things. We don't always know that, but they do. I'm a witness that they do respect great things, and they respect Islam, and they respect our holy book. They respect the last prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. This country welcomes us to diversity. All the other groups that have come before us, they came here because they were welcome. The idea of freedom for this society welcomes all people if they want to start their life over again. If they want a chance to live their life free of being persecuted, then America says, here is a place for you. Now, we know our history. We know how we ourselves were persecuted. And we know religion has been persecuted, too. In America, religion has been persecuted. But that was not something that was called for by the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers planned the future of this society so that it would become a welcome place for all people having good intentions and wanting to establish their life after being denied their freedom, that freedom in their own lands or in their own country. So we have to ourselves then appreciate this diversity and be supporters of this diversity. Islam, in Islam, God says to us, La ikraha fid din, that is, let there be no forcing people in the religion. No compulsory, no forcing people in religion. Don't force people in religion. Says the way is clear. Whoever wants the way, take it. Whoever is not wanting the way, then let him be free to reject it. This is Islam. Not imposing our way on other people. Then we shouldn't try to promote our interests put down other people or try to have some plan to defeat their interests or to kill their life that they have chosen to have in this land of opportunity. We should respect all people who come here who want to have their life. We are latecomers, so we should study the history of this diversity, the history of the people that came here to have their life free and be not so that they won't have to be afraid of rulers, of tyrants who would take their freedom from them. So we, if we are going to enjoy, Muslims, if we are going to enjoy this same freedom here, then the first thing we should do is have at least our imams, our teachers, our leaders, knowing the history of this diversity, so that we will appreciate it and support others in having the same freedom that we want for ourselves. I repeat, our religion, Islam, is our life. While planning our life, we are to keep our plan in line with the Quran. and with the tradition of the tradition of the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him. In order to be successful as a Muslim society or Muslim community, planning our life here in America, we must know the Quran better. We must know the life of Muhammad better, because we will be forming something un-Islamic if we don't form it in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are in Chicago. I know a lot of you have heard things about old Chicago, like you've heard things about the old West. You're in one of the best cities we have in these United States. In fact, I think it is the greatest. It may have some small towns with about 70 people in it, or maybe 700, and that's better as an environment. But you're still going to have to leave that small town and go to a bigger town. So come to Chicago anytime you like. You have an invitation from Imam Radifuddin Muhammad, W. Dean Muhammad. We must understand also that our life is to be established in community, and it is to be established as community life. Individuals' lives depend upon community life. I remember studying the writings on how people, human beings that is, individuals, must have the freedom and opportunity to interact with other human beings, grow up in a human environment in order to become human. Isn't that something? If you don't have that, then if you are left without a human environment in the wilderness, they documented this. They found a boy. They called the boy. The boy was like an animal. When they found the boy was like an animal, thinking itself one of the animals, because that boy had not the opportunity to live and interact with other human beings. So Allah didn't create us to be alone. Allah created us to be in community life. And if you want to progress economically or business, financially, business-wise or financially, you need each other. You need each other. You need community. So God gave us the concept that will satisfy all of our needs as individuals on this planet. That concept is community life. And God says of us, you are the best community, of the best communities evolved for the good of all people. The best of communities evolved for the good of all people. We must also understand that our community, because we are a minority in America, we are not the whole society. We are a small part of this society. Our community exists in the environment of the bigger community that surrounds all of us, that is, or engulfs all of us, that is the community of the American people, mostly Christians. Others are increasing in number here that belong to other religions or other spiritual persuasions, but the majority are Christians. So we are most likely going to have Christians as our neighbors. I have a Christian, I don't know if he approved me giving his name. He's Mr. Thomas. He has two names from the Bible. He's Mr. Isaiah Thomas. I've lived as his neighbor now for several years, and I trust him with my life just like I trust my life with the best of you. And he's a good Christian, a good church-going Christian. So we are to recognize our neighbors and follow Muhammad's advice to us, be aware of our neighbor, and be always ready to assist your neighbor when your neighbor is in need. This is the teachings of Prophet, by me living that. Thank you. Thank you. By me living that with my Christian neighbors, I have the best Christian neighbors. I have the best. They only want to know if you're good and if you mean them well, you know? If you're going to be good by them, if you care about them. If you let them know that, then you'll see love come out of them that you don't see come out of a lot of Muslims. Now, I'm a good doctor. I can heal some of you Muslims if you let me. And we are also in the global community. We are part of the whole community of mankind, the international community of people. We are in that context too. So we must also be aware of that and draw from our religious teachings, draw from the Quran, and draw from the life and teachings of Muhammad the Prophet, so that we will be successful in embracing mankind, citizens of the United States of America, near and far, and winning the friendship of the good, healthy-minded people, so that we will have more freedom in this land to prosper. Freedom is offered to everybody that comes here, and you're free. But you have to plan your freedom. If you don't plan your freedom, freedom will destroy you. As so many out there in the streets that are destroyed by the freedom, as they perceive freedom that they perceive is destroying them. We don't want freedom to destroy us. We want freedom to give us more opportunity to live our life of health and productivity. We thank God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Again, we must be also appreciative of people who open their doors to us. Now, we know times have changed, so it's no big thing that we're having this meeting here, our annual public address here at the UIC Pavilion. This is no big thing. But in a way, it is a big thing, too. When you look at the fear that's in the air because of the things that's going on in this world, and how Muslims are characterized by some of the things that Muslims are doing. You must also agree with me then that it is a big thing that we are having this meeting in this pavilion. Now, we Muslims are to see that our community life is not without good leaders. People complain, oh, this place is bad, and or this Masjid ain't like it should be. This imam, he should do this. Complain to everybody but the right person. Complain to him. Hold your leaders responsible. This is Islam. Allah has taught us with the Quran and Muhammad that when judgment day come, every people will be gathered together with their imams, with their leaders. You're going to be gathered before the judgment, and your leader is going to be with you, so that they will be a witness against you or for you, and you will be a witness against them or for them. And the Prophet said, peace be upon him, he said, religion is sincerity. And they asked him to further explain. And he said, it's sincerity of a leader toward his following, and sincerity of a following toward the leader. So to be sincere with leaders, your leaders, you have to be truthful with them. You have to not talk behind their back what you can't say to them before their faces. And for them to be sincere by you and with you, they have to not put their government jobs before your interests. So you are free as Muslims and you are free as Americans. to choose the life you want. So you need to choose leaders who love believers and whose life that they're living, whose behavior that we're looking at, tell us they love believers. You need to choose leaders, imams, who love obedience to God and who love respect for God and love respect for the God-given dignity or the God-given, quote, in Quran, honor, end quote, the God-given honor that every human person should be respected for having, whether that human person respects that honor that God has given them or not. We should not be the one to disrespect the honor that God has created for them. We should call them back to the honor if they are ignorant of it. Call them back to the honor that God created them for. But don't let us disrespect that honor. Respect everybody. And that ain't the first time you heard that. My father told you to do that. Education. Muslims must understand that education enables man to make progress in big, big measures. Without it, you make progress in little, small measures. Look at the societies before modern history. Look at the societies that didn't have education, that were not devoted to science, or not devoted to industry, not devoted to knowledge. Look at them in history, and you'll see how small their contribution is to mankind. Then look at those who had the appreciation for science, appreciation for industry, appreciation for education, and look at the big world that they have created for mankind. So you must support education. You must have a respect for education, and you must support it. Even if you're poor, support it with your mouth, with your lips. Give support with your mouth, with your lips, for education. Even if you're poor and ignorant. Isn't that how our parents from slavery and our parents from the South, when the North was open to them and they had to leave the South to make progress, isn't that what they told their children? And then they pressed upon their children, now you might do very well up North, but get an education. You owe it to me, son, and you owe it to your grandfather who's gone. Or you owe it to your grandmother who's dead in her grave to get yourself, you're free and we were not, get yourself a good education. And with that encouragement, the early history of our people after freedom from physical bondage, from slavery on the plantation, is a history of the rise of intellect, the rise of brilliant men and brilliant women who were our leaders and who made great progress for us in that time, immediately after slavery, up until the Civil Rights Movement. Up until the Civil Rights Movement. Then the movement changed from one of an academic movement, an academic-supported movement. It changed from that to a political movement, a movement for civil rights. We have to keep history in our view. You know, the teachers under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they used to say, history is best to reward all research. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's ministers and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were speaking mostly to a congregation, nationally and locally, a congregation that was almost 100% illiterate. Yes, we weren't intellectuals. We were trying to learn how to read. And we had programs for adults and children under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's leadership, to teach adults and children how to read. In fact, you couldn't even become a member until you wrote correctly a letter requesting to be a member. Is that not so? Yes. That was to emphasize and make you know that it's very important that you become literate. That man wanted us to succeed. I'm speaking of the teacher of my father, the one that he called God in the person, in the flesh. That man wanted us to succeed. He didn't want us to fail. And he knew that to succeed, you must appreciate knowledge. You must want to become literate. So let's not forget that, and let us go back to putting importance on things like it's supposed to be put on things, and putting importance on things that are more important than others, put more important on those things and less important on those things that are lesser in importance. So your leaders must be encouraged to support private schools. The more we live on this planet, in these times, things have changed. Trends are different. The more we support private schools, the more we prepare our community, not just ourselves and our children, the more we prepare our community to prosper in the future, to prosper in the future. More and more we're going to see government burden financially to finance our public schools. And we're going to see society growing in numbers and growing in problems, just like it is now. It's not going to change. It's going to continue to grow in numbers and grow in problems. The problems of living in these big cities is going to get greater and greater. It's going to take more and more tax money, government funding, to keep civilization, to keep some sign or some sanctuary of civilization. So we have to be able to look into the future. Our leaders, you're reading, you're literate, look into the future. See what the future has in store for us, and you'll see that if you want to be successful, you have to put more important on education. You're now being challenged by newcomers who come here and they score higher on the test than average American score. So the American public of yesterday is challenged by newcomers today to even appreciate knowledge more and devote yourself more to academic achievement. If you don't, you're going to find yourself way behind them. And maybe that's God's plan, I don't know, but I know I'm not going to believe it until I can't do anything about it. I'm going to try to do something about it. And the way we do something about it is prepare for it now. Support our private schools. We need private schools. These public schools can't teach us Islamic life. Even if they hire a Christian or a Jew, or even a Muslim to work in the public school and teach us Muslim life, Islamic life, you'll be better off having your own Muslim school doing it, because that situation will not give you what your own situation will give you. I was told by an FBI who was questioning me during troubled times for the Nation of Islam, and I had been excommunicated, I had been put out. So he was questioning me, and he was asking me questions about my father. He took over the conversation and started telling me things about my father. Well, I know they're better information getters than I am, you know, so he didn't shock me at all. So he said, your father didn't just give money to Muslims. So your father gave money to needy Christians also. And I hesitated and I thought a little bit. And a couple of scenes came back to my mind. And I saw my father in the dining room at the table. And I recall him saying that he had sent some money to some Christians who needed some help. So I told him, I said, yes. I said, I'm aware of that. After I hesitated for a couple of minutes. I said, yes, I'm aware of that. Maybe it was just 15 seconds. It seemed like it was a long time, though. I hesitated. Probably 15 seconds. So I hesitated and I told him, I said, yes, I am aware of that. Yes. All right. When we plan our life, and especially our schools, we should plan these schools so that we help Muslim children not only attending our Muslim schools, but Muslim children who are in public schools. we should have a program also for Muslim children who are in public schools so that we assist them with their courses, with their subjects that they're having difficulty with. So we need to give them tutorial help to help them make better grades in the public school. We can do that. That won't cost us a whole lot. So while we are not able to provide enough schools, or enough quality schools, to take care of all of the children of our parents, let us assist those parents with their children who are attending, children that are attending public school, by offering a program for them too, where they can get Islamic education on the weekend, and where they can get assistance, tutorial help, during the week and on the weekend. Community life is the full life, complete life. Community life is the full life, it's the complete life. Community life is where you can have full expression for your life, your whole life, where you express your spiritual life, and that's number one. You go and join your brothers and sisters on Fridays, the Jumu'ah prayer, and you go and join them at any time that you can, that's possible for you. You join them in the five daily prayers as a group, and you pray with your brothers and sisters. This is the spiritual life, yes. And you work to improve your financial situation so that you can help that spiritual life. Don't you know, if spiritual life didn't need help, God wouldn't have put it in a body. God put it in a flesh and blood body. My spiritual life can't communicate to you except through this instrument, my flesh body. It needs it. Take away this flesh body, I can't reach you with any communication. Some people believe they can, but that's spooky. Yes. So value this physical body and know that the physical body that you live in is a sign from God to you that as you need a house for your own soul, your community life needs physical structures for you to express your life in and express your life upon and by. Yes, you need stores. You need businesses for business life. You need cultural centers for cultural expression, for weddings, for child celebration, for new birth celebrations, etc. For plays that will instruct the people to have the good life. You need this. So no wonder they call us spooks. We don't have a body out here in the world. While mentioning culture, I want to mention to you something that really made me feel sad. And that was, I thought when I went to speak at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, that I was still speaking, I would be speaking, pardon me, in a facility that was owned by Percy Sutton family, his business partners and his family. Percy Sutton is African-American of prominence, political figure, a great political figure Clayton Power, and well-respected person, and still is deserving of that respect. But somehow the management of that theater didn't go well for him, and they lost the Apollo Theater. And then we rented it. They told me that we were renting it from a Jew. Now, that's not to say that that's bad. You know, maybe it's better that we were renting it from a Jew. Sometimes it's better that a Jew is doing business with you. I've had some good Jews to open up opportunities for me. Yes, I have. But I didn't have a job. I had a Jew to befriend me. So this old idea that all Jews are like those that used to be in Jewtown, you know, cheating us and robbing us, telling you, how you like that suit? I remember this. Say, look in the mirror. And he got a hand full of the suit, holding it like this, so it looks real neat and tight in the front. But you don't know that. All you just feel it. Oh yeah. You get home, man, you want to go back there and kill that Jew. So we have a lot of bad experiences with Jews, but that was a certain group of Jews who were hungry in hell, you know. And they were the poor Jews of Jewtown, a marketplace called Jewtown. But you could get some good hot dogs there. Yeah, I'm telling you, some good hot dogs. Chicago-style kosher hot dogs, man, they're all right. My son say, Daddy, don't say hot dog. He said, I don't like that expression. I say, what should I say, son? He say, say Franks. We're hearing a lot of talk about the One World Order. Now, we know people will look at the One World Order differently. I guess the president and our State Department, when they think about the One World Order, I'm sure they're thinking about how the business life of the planet Earth is becoming one system now, just one life system. It's no more like it used to be, each country having its separate economy and working separately and not interacting or really knowing its dependence on the other economies. But now that's gone, that time is gone. So we do have one world economic order. And I'm sure that we would like to improve the political order, and we'd like to see the political units, or that is the nations, the separate nations of our planet, coming together to cooperate with each other for the good life, for peace and the good life of all of us, of all nations. But I don't know if that's what they have in mind for the political order. I don't know. But I do believe it's that. I know one thing. I served as a member of a special committee serving the president during the time of the Democrats in the White House, President Clinton. And I was working directly with the State Department at that time. And I was given that opportunity by the going out Secretary of State, and he saw that I was in before the next Secretary of State came in. But our work didn't really start until the next Secretary had been established in that position. And I do have experience that tells me that the United States government, under the President of these United States, is very much interested in seeing peace and justice for all people, for all nations in the world. Now, that is interfered with by private interests. Private interests makes it very difficult for any government to achieve all it wants. But again, we must understand our responsibility to not only contribute to our own government or to our own community government, and don't think you don't have a government. A Muslim community must have its own government. Its government is seen in its organization and in its leaders. That's your government. Your government, the religious government, is seen in its organization and in its leaders. If the organization is good and the leaders are good, you have good government. And our government lives under the protection, have the protection, if we live with respect for others. Our government, our religious government, has the protection of the government of these United States. And we should be obligating ourselves as much as other Americans obligate themselves to contribute to this government to make it better. If we are not pleased with it, let us be as other free Americans who are self-assertive, aggressive, and who appreciate their freedom and know that they have the right to influence the shape and the future or the course of their government. Let us be as energetic, as enthusiastic, and as responsible as they are. Let us join them in working to make our government better, have our government better for all of us. I was reading in the Quran, I'm a student of the Bible too, I'm a very good student of the Bible. Some of you preachers will be surprised what I can share with you if you meet me in private. God has blessed me with understanding of the scripture and I thank God for it, and I would like to share with good people what God has blessed me with. Yes, so I read in the Bible about Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, and I read in the Quran about Jesus Christ, and I read how his disciples said Jesus was calling for assistance, for people to help him, and his disciples replied to him, "We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers to God. We are your helpers under God. We are your helpers for God. We are your helpers to bring God's cause to God, to bring it where he wants it to go, to take it where he wants it to go." Now, I firmly believe that African-American people have a history that justified God's intervention. I believe African-American people have a history that justified God selecting the best of us to lead us into a model life that will be a model life to help strengthen the faith and trust that is in people to make this world a better life, a better world, and a better life for all. You are chosen. Thank you. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
It's Book TV. The following lecture, entitled "Allah's Throne Over the Water," was given by Imam W. Dean Muhammad in Atlanta, Georgia.
So God understood, Muhammad understood what God said, meant when he said, "Read." And Muhammad said, "I can't read." He meant, "Read my communication to man for his salvation." Muhammad said, "I can't read." He never had any scriptures in his hand. He never had a priest or a monk or a holy man to teach him scripture. He couldn't read. This is in the Bible. There'll come a time when there'll be a famine. It'll spread all over the world. So it won't be a famine of food. It'll be a famine of hearing the word of God. And again in the Bible it says, there'll be a little book, and the people will not be able to read that book. And a man will come upon that book by chance. He will have it in his hand. And he won't be able to read it. And he'll go looking for somebody to read him this book, this strange book that he has come upon. And he goes to the first person. Says, "Will you please read this for me?" And the first person says, "I'm sorry, I'm not literate. I can't read plain language." And he keeps going, and finally comes another man, and he says, "Will you please read this to me?" And the man looks at it, and he says, "It's sealed. S-E-A-L-E-D. It's locked up. It's sealed. From people that don't have this kind of knowledge." But along comes one that looks like he's been slain from the foundations of the world. He's not even alive to the foundation of the world. Slain from the foundations of the world. A little lamb without spot or blemish. Not a wolf going out to kill something, sneaking in, lurking in the shadows. Not a bear, wild bear, but a little lamb that won't nothing but to be left alone with his family. He ain't out to kill a thing. Praise be to Allah. And he comes up and he sees and he takes the book. He has to reach up for it because those that have it, they in power, they high up. Little lamb way out here on the ground with the poor and the common people. He reaches up and he grabs the book and he breaks the seals. He reads it. That was Muhammad the prophet. But he couldn't do it without God's help. That was Jesus Christ as a sign. He couldn't do it without God's help. God had to tell him more than once. Told him once, read. I can't read. Told him the second time, read. I can't read. First time he said, read, and Muhammad responded from his experience. I can't read. I've never been educated to do this. He told him the second time, read. And Muhammad responded with his ability, with his rational mind, his brain. And Muhammad said, I can't read. God told him the third time, read. And he didn't speak from his mind. His soul began reading. His soul began to read. And his brain heard it. And his brain spoke it to men. And they wrote it down. And we have the Quran. Lord have mercy. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Lord have mercy. Woo! See what Allah blessed me with when I come to you all? See what we get when we're in good company? Praise be to Allah. Now, God blessed Abraham to see where he wanted us to go with our lives. Abraham couldn't see it in his time. He couldn't see it. It was the time for it was too far. In the distance. Abraham couldn't live to see it. But God gave it to Abraham as a vision, as a hope. And Abraham passed it on down to others and charged others to pass it on down to others. Huh? For eventually the time is going to come when you can go into this vision. And this vision is called the Promised Land. Yes. Moses wanted it. But he didn't have enough time to see it. So he appointed Joshua. Joshua. Spirit. He appointed the Holy Spirit in the people. He appointed that Holy Spirit to be responsible for carrying these people on after I'm gone. Oh, yes. But Joshua could only fight the battle of Jericho. He couldn't live to see it either. But he did bring the walls down. Jesus Christ came. And he has a sign he was the Promised Land. Yes. As a sign of the word. Pure in the world. He was the Promised Land. But the sign had to be read and understood. And he said, I'm doing my best to show you, but I have to go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And the Comforter means the ability in you to receive this and understand it clearly. It won't come unless I pull myself out of your sight. You're looking at me and you can't see it. And isn't that the way truth is sometimes? You have to get away from it to see it. Get back up. Too close, can't see it too good. Then comes Muhammad the Prophet, fulfilling the prediction, when the truth has come, falsehood vanishes. For surely falsehood by its own nature is a vanishing thing. Qad jaa al-haq wa zahaqa al-batil. Inna al-batila kana zahuqa. For surely falsehood by its own nature is doomed to vanish or perish. Yes? Yes. So, in the in essence, in purpose. In the role of fulfilling the promise of God. Who is Jesus? Jesus Christ. Who is Muhammad? Jesus Christ. They're the same. And when the prophet said, there come a time when you're going to see Christ Jesus and me together. That's what he's saying. You're missing it now, and I can't tell you. But I am Jesus. I am Jesus Christ. Yes. The world missed it. The world missed it. Yes, they missed it. But he is not that Jesus Christ. He is that purpose that was in that Jesus Christ. And as a human being, he's the same essence that was in Jesus Christ. The human essence of Jesus Christ and the human essence of Muhammad the Prophet, the same essence, one and the same. Yes? Where did the origin go back to? The first man that God made fit for the garden, Adam. And if you study the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, it will trace the genealogy of Jesus Christ back to Adam. And it says, Adam, and Adam was created by God. That's what it says. Then Allah revealed to Muhammad in the Quran to say the likeness of Jesus Christ is Adam, and he was created by God. Same thing. We don't know, that's commentary on what I just gave you from the Bible. I'm talking about we, I'm speaking of the scholars. I'm way down here. They way up there in Saudi Arabia and Ashhad University. They way up there. But I go over there and look at them. And I listen to what they have to say. They give me that great voice from way up there. And I come back home with the little stuff I came there with. I don't buy what they gave me from way up there. I go back home with my little baggage I came to them with. I left their big stuff right there where they were. With your big stuff. This is a challenge for me. For many of you, this is a challenge. Even for some of my good friends that love me like I love you, this is a challenge for you. And what do you, it can't be that. It can't be no more than those big boys, you know. It can't be something that they ain't in or got more than they got, you know. But haven't you been put down lower than any other people on this earth? Hold up. Ain't shouting time now. Haven't you been put down as a people? Lower than any other people on this earth to believe you are subhuman, kin to apes and monkeys? Huh? To believe you are cursed by God just because of your color? Then the scripture saying the lowest rail shall be made the highest rail? Huh? Well, if that's true then, a black man from slavery history, a distant child of slaves, from the most put-down race on the planet, have to, if the word of God must be fulfilled, it's going to be fulfilled, have to be brought from the bottom and put on the top. If not, then God didn't tell us the truth. And I have come to know God's justice. I have come to know God's justice. Whatever God permits to happen to innocent people, and we know a lot of our foreparents weren't innocent. They were liars, thieves, whoremongers, killers of their own people. We know that. But we know they didn't look for just criminals when they brought us over here and put us in bondage. They just grabbed us. And they grabbed up the little lamb. Oh, they made a big damn mistake. they've raised up a little lamb. And God said, you can do that to those criminals. You can do that to your people, but I will not let you do that to my worshiper. And because you mocked the whole people when you did it, I'm going to lift up the whole people in America until they are higher than anybody else in the knowledge and skills and use and performance of my word. And that has happened. That has happened already. It's just a matter of time that you respond to that great light that God has put in us and become the great people in the environment, in the material environment, that you can be just on the power of that light that has come into the son of Elijah Muhammad. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. God knows I want nothing for myself. God knows that. God, and a few of you all know that. A few of you all know me up close. You know I want nothing for myself. I wish I had somebody else saying this and my picture was hidden. I wish Brother Shabazz or Brother Abdul Rahim, I wish anybody, a sister Abdul Rahim, a sister Jamila, anybody was saying this instead of me. But I don't have anybody else to say this. I want no attention to myself. I don't want you to see me at all. God knows this. I want nothing but to be left alone, to have a private life and enjoy what my human nature created me and enjoy. And I'd be happy having somebody else be this man as a leader. God knows that. It has already happened. And believe me, people on high in the great religions of this earth, not just Christians and Jews, but there are other great religions on this earth. And they have seen what has happened in the midst of our people. They have seen how we have gone in two different ways. How some have gone for righteousness, following the way of Christianity in the church. How other blacks or African Americans have taken the way of the new Islam that came into the United States by way of the mysterious W.D. Farrar. They have studied this thing. They got more knowledge of these mysteries than you have. And they have come to the conclusion that God is performing a great work again. He's creating a people again, like he created people before. And this time he's creating that people out of the African Americans or the blacks of America. They know that. Believe me, they know that. And they're studying and watching what they're seeing. And they are benefiting spiritually from what they're seeing. They are benefiting intellectually from what they're seeing. And they are benefiting politically from what they're seeing. You don't know what's happening. No, you don't know how great it is. They are benefiting politically from what is happening. When God puts new life into the world, that new life does not only feed the little small area God put it in, but it sends out its light and its influence to the whole world, and the whole world benefits. A great, great thing has happened in the United States of America. Yes. And believe me, I couldn't even stay with God if I didn't see what has happened in the United States of America. I would give up on religion. No Christian church could get me. And certainly no mosque of Arabia, Egypt, anywhere. Oh, they sure couldn't get me. I'm telling you, ain't no way they could do it. I told you, would you believe this little fella with no college education or degree? Oh, yeah, no college education. I've been there for a little while. I got a few hours. Well, you believe this little fella sit over there, those big boys in Saudi Arabia? Big boy. A meeting of the top scholars. And I told them, I said, there was no way, there's no way that you all could get me to become a Muslim if I had not experienced what I experienced in America under the honorable Elijah Muhammad. No appeal. You want to give me holiness? Plenty of that in the church. You want to make that soul feel good? Oh, I'll go to the dope house. I feel real good. I don't need your small time drugs. The biggest drugs in the world is the United States of America. And they looked at me and, you know, they could say nothing. They didn't even ask me why. Because they're afraid that I'm going to hurt us some more if we had to answer questions. I'm Wallace D. Muhammad. Okay, son of Elijah Pooh Muhammad. That's me. Now, if you saw me, the way I thought, my brothers can tell you, my sisters can tell you, my friends in the streets can tell you, the way I live and thought, I won't put on that stuff they wear for the desert in Saudi Arabia, not for the winters in Chicago. I'm going to dress like that and look and talk like them. Good God Almighty, what kind of curse God going to put on me to make me do that? The possibility is not in my natural life. God would have to put some kind of great curse on me to make me do that. God Almighty. And look how God has let things develop in the major happenings of the world. Here in Saudi Arabia, the Holy Land, our most sacred quarters, where the Haram is, the sanctuary of sanctuaries for Muslims, right there in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia became a partner of Britain and the United States with the birth of Saudi Arabia on that land that was called the Land of Arabs. Huh? It wasn't called no Saudi Arabia. That come from Abdulaziz. Saud. That's his name. So he liberated Arabia for his kind of government in life, called the revival of Islam, and stopped the people from doing un-Islamic things around the Kaaba, etc. He did do a great thing to bring the people from savagery, they were going back to savagery, to bring them from primitiveness and savagery. He did a great thing. But he's a desert man. He was nothing but a desert man. I'm talking about the first king. Nothing but a desert man. Wasn't even educated. But he had a scholar. The best scholar who started the revolution to change them from this idolatry. They were almost getting back into idolatry. The worship of spirits and stuff. To change them. His name is Wahhab. So the soldier, who was not an intellectual, just a soldier, common man, he got with the scholar, Wahhab, and got the support of Britain and the United States and a few others, but mainly Britain and the United States, so he could get into power. Formed an agreement, a pact, with the United States in his time. And that pact passed on down to his children, the princes from him. Until this time, King Fahd. Okay? And the present situation for the two nations or the two governments, Saudi Arabia and the United States, is this. Saudi Arabia is obligated to keep its friendship and agreement with the United States. And the United States is obligated to do the same with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia now depends on the United States and has depended on it for many things. even for his security. Huh? So here is the son of Elijah Muhammad. I don't know if you all can travel back in time like I can. And I remember the United States allowing me to be called nigger and being shut out of the blessings that God created for all people and leaving it only for whites and those that they say is okay for and shutting us out of it, being underserved by me being shut out of restaurants, told to go to the back door to get my food, told to sit in the back of a bus, told to don't laugh in a theater until the white people laugh. And after they finish laughing, then you niggas can laugh. I remember drinking out of a fountain that they say was for blacks. I couldn't drink out of other fountain, those closer to me, because this for white. I remember all of this. And now I see the United States in this great power, in this great situation. And now it has Saudi Arabia like its pup. The lion has a pup. Huh? Saudi Arabia, the great sanctuary for Muslims, is like the pup of the United States, the great lion. Huh? Now, I'm that man that has witnessed all these things. Do you think I'm impressed with Saudi Arabia, the pup of the United States? Well, hell, I have the spirit now to improve the United States. Yeah. I remember this history. I congratulate you, United States, for cleaning up your act. Congratulations. I congratulate you for living out the promise of your best leaders, the ones who formed this nation, conceived it, and promised all its citizens life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I appreciate you and congratulate you for completing that promise.
So all of this didn't entertain Malcolm. He couldn't attract Malcolm with that. Malcolm would listen to it, and he liked the idea that, you know what he called it? This is my language, but this is the same thing he would say. Man, this is good rap. Yeah, I can't recall his exact words, but that's the message. This is good rap. You know, I forget how the expression he gave, but that's the meaning that stays with me. Malcolm said it was good rap. But he didn't trust that kind of teachings when he went on campuses. He didn't talk that way. He talked about the honor of Elijah Muhammad. He talked about separation of the black man, white man from the white man. He talked about the black man being independent. The black man has to come into his independence, have some land of his own, et cetera, et cetera. This is what Malcolm talked about. Talked about the black man knowing his past history, that once upon a time he was in Africa and we weren't all worshiping idols over there, that we were Muslims in Africa. We've talked about the great empires of Mali and Timbuktu, etc. He talked about the glorious Islamic path of the African continent. That's what he would talk about. And he told me once in a conversation with him, he said, Wallace, he said, how should I handle the religion? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know how I handle it. He said, yeah. He said that I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. I already talked to your father about this, and Dr. C. Eric Lincoln was definitely correct when he said that the honorable Elijah Muhammad was the center of everything, and whatever he did, that's what was accepted. And he said, I already talked to your father. He said, I told your father that I had a desire to come to you sometimes. I know you're close to him, and you're spiritual, and he told me that you have some special role in the history of the Nation of Islam. He said, so don't feel uneasy. I said, okay. I said, what are you referring to, though, when you talk about how should you teach Islam? I said, what's bothering you? He said, well, you know, about Yaqub and Sa'd, I can't handle a lot of that. I said, well, you should only talk about what you can handle. And he said, well, that's what I feel comfortable doing. He said, but you seem to have a perception when it comes to understanding the religion of Islam. He said, give me something on Islam. So I would tell him something about Islam, that I would tell him about the perception of the society, how we perceive society, about Islamic socialism. I'll just put it that way. I would tell him about Islamic socialism, and I would tell him about Islamic logic, the reasoning, and he liked it. At that time, I was just a student myself. But he liked it, and I think he was somewhat influenced by what I would give him. And he would tell me, so I talked to your father. He said, I told your father that we had a discussion. I told your father how you helped me, he encouraged me to talk with you. He said, I want you and my, he said, I'm quoting him now, he said, my father said, I'm quoting him, I want you and my son to be close together. And we were already close together, but we really got closer. We began to talk to each other and to really counsel each other and confide in each other. And when it comes to the question about who killed Malcolm, who assassinated Malcolm, I must say, firstly, that a climate for Malcolm's assassination was created by the leaders of the Nation of Islam. But I must also share with you Malcolm's words to me that resemble exactly what Dr. Lincoln has said to us. Malcolm told me, he said, Wallace, he said, they want to kill me. They're trying to kill me. He said, they attacked me in my car. And he said, if they could have got me out of the car, he said, I believe they would have killed me. He said, they hit one of the brothers that was with me with some kind of metal tool, saying he's almost dead. So he's in the critical list. He said, I believe that they will make another tip on me. So I said, Malcolm, I got angry. Really, I was angry with him. I said, Malcolm, because he was telling me what was happening, but he wasn't telling me what he was going to do about it. I said, Malcolm, what are you doing about it? He said, what do you mean? I said, why don't you report it? He said, to whom? I said, to the police department. He said, I believe they're behind it. I said, to the FBI. And he smiled. I said, look, and I understood. I wasn't a fool at that time. I was just trying to tell him, go to somebody. So I looked at him and I told him this. I said, Malcolm, even if I believe they were a part of it, I would still report it. And that was the end of that talk at that time. The last conversation, the only one after that and the last one, was a telephone conversation that I had with Malcolm. But I do believe that what occurred to separate Malcolm and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and even his assassination, was instigated by outsiders. I don't know who all was involved, but I suspect U.S. Intelligence Department was involved, and perhaps some other private institutions could have been involved. I don't know. But I know that it wasn't purely the doings of the Nation of Islam, the Nation of Islam members, our followers. But we can't excuse ourselves, as I said, though I was not a part of it. I was a member of the Nation of Islam and a minister, but at that time I was separated too. I was put out of the Nation of Islam. I was charged with telling Malcolm what was going on in the private life of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what I was charged with, and I was put out, which wasn't true. That wasn't true. It was already known by Malcolm. It was common knowledge in the leadership, as he have already told you, Dr. Lincoln has already told us. Now, I want to continue, because I think we can learn more about Malcolm if we just know something about how he related to others. I've seen him, too, interact with Christian leaders. He had an admiration for Christian leaders like Dr. Adam Clayton Powell of New York, same city that Malcolm loved so much. Malcolm said, you know, New York is so great they had to name it twice, New York, New York. State, the city of the state. But not only Dr. Adam Clayton Powell, he spoke of many of the, what we would call civil rights leaders back there with great respect when he spoke privately of them to us or to them at one-on-one. But in the media's eye, Malcolm put the black leadership down. He said that they all were Uncle Tom. He would put Adam Clayton Powell down too. But after he would do that, he would meet with Adam Clayton Powell, and they would laugh and talk and embrace as friends. Strange, but that was accepted. I didn't understand that until many years later. In fact, it had to have been at least a decade or so later that I began to understand that. And here is the explanation. They thought they were helping each other. They thought they needed each other. The separatist movement of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, called the Nation of Islam, NOI, or Nation of Islam, was frightening the white man. And there was the civil rights movement saying, here is your alternative. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's movement was telling the southern white and all the southern white separatists and all that fought like him in the north and all over the United States that here is the good alternative. So they were using each other. So as long as the civil rights movement stayed popular, the Nation of Islam was getting benefits from that, and vice versa. They were working together secretly, behind closed doors. They were working together. Many don't know that Dr. King met with Honorable Elijah Muhammad at his home, and they embraced as friends and had great respect and admiration for each other. Now, when I noticed Malcolm interacting with newsmen, he was quite different. He was very adamant. He would have a smile, but his smile was the smile of a fox. You know, he would wear that fox, the smile of a fox. He was very, very disciplined, very, very stiff-like, and cutting with his words, just cutting with his words, and putting demands to them from the Nation of Islam or from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I noticed that when he spoke with the young whites, he was friendly, very friendly, especially students, young white students. And later I learned that Malcolm had been influenced by young student Democrat, Young Students for a Democratic Society. I believe that's the name of that group back then, Students for a Democratic Society. I believe that that group of youngsters, mostly whites to my knowledge, I believe they were influenced somewhat by socialism or communism, and they had been attracted to Malcolm, mesmerized by him. And they liked him, and they were just demanding that he come and speak to them or be on the campuses. They were quietly working to get him on more campuses. I kind of got dissatisfied with that and thought it was a danger. So I once told Malcolm, I said, Malcolm, I said, why you spend so much time on the campuses talking to whites? I said, why you give advice to them? And Malcolm told me, he said, and I believe this was the beginning of something, he said to me, he said, Wallace, see, they want to keep the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's message right in the small confines of these temples. He said, if I can get it out, the general public, then these youngsters, they have open minds. He said, they are thinking. So if I can get it out there, he said, they'll never be able to keep it quiet. So Malcolm thought, for some reason or another, I don't know whether some other motive was behind that, but Malcolm thought that in order for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's message to be known widely known, and be around here for a long time, that he had to break from the small confines of the Temple of Islam and speak to the broad public of America. So I began to accept him doing that, and I felt more relaxed after he gave me that explanation. Now, I want to come from now, speaking of Malcolm and his relationship to others, to talk about how Malcolm has been influenced by certain ideas. I mentioned already that Malcolm told me that while he was in prison, he was considering becoming a communist. He was he became interested in communism. He learned about Paul Robeson. I hope I'm pronouncing the last name correctly, Robeson. Paul Robeson, he was a singer and dancer, well-known, popular, and he was suspect. He was suspected of being influenced by communism, and he received a bad deal from our country, and I think he went to the communist countries. He went to communist countries. Malcolm was influenced by him, he told me, and he was thinking, considering himself, that he would one day become a communist. Until he heard about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the message of the Nation of Islam. Also, Malcolm was attracted to the Nation of Islam because he saw the Nation of Islam as a nationalistic organization. He saw the teachings of the Nation of Islam as another form or another brand of nationalism, black nationalism. He had great respect for Marcus Garvey, and also he had great admiration for the glorious days of Islam on the continent of Africa. He admired and was influenced by such strong men as Abdel Nasser, who was president of Egypt back there in 1954, middle 50s too, I think, and Dr. Nkrumah, that you all are aware of, I'm sure, and his ideas. He was greatly influenced by that. And I believe that Malcolm was innocently trying to give more flesh to a real and acceptable ideology that wasn't burdened by myth, the myth of Yaqub or the myth of the beginning of the black man or the white man or anything like that. He was just trying to form for himself an ideology. And I believe that ideology, if it had been nourished enough, Malcolm had been spared years and had enough time on this earth, I believe it would have materialized or gotten flesh. It would have gotten flesh, but it remained embryonic. Malcolm, if he was a socialist, for Malcolm, the idea was still vague and unformed. If Malcolm was a Muslim, he was a new Muslim. Malcolm did not have what we call Islamic knowledge. He was not a qualified teacher of Islam. He was just a person influenced by Islam. Malcolm, unlike a few educated, he was educated. He had a high school education and informal education, I think, would at least make him a strong junior college graduate, Malcolm. And when it came to words, the language, he had a very, very superior command of the spoken language, more English, spoken language.